Welcome everybody to Simple Actions. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Can we open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer? God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And we're wrapping things up tonight. We're at the end of this go-round of the steps, so we're finishing up step 12, and I'll make the announcement about supper and a speaker later. So that's next week, so y'all come back next week. And the way we do this is we read a couple paragraphs, one or two paragraphs from the book, and then we have our panel discuss it. And our panel tonight is Mickey and Patrick. So let's welcome our panel.
Hello, Patrick.
Good to see you, Mickey. All right, and to remind everybody, step 12 is, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So we're going to start on page 96. Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story. But do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. And Mickey is going to start us off tonight.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mickey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mickey.
Let's see. First, I'd like to say that I've been very blessed with some really good sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I think about going to see a person for the second time, you know, the way that they say that in the book, it kind of sounds to me like there might have been a lapse in between there, like in the beginning of the book when they're talking about some of the people in the hospital and stuff, they say that that the man was eager to see these two people again, and the two people came in to see him and they grinned, and he did not like that so much. And that's what I think about when you're dealing with a person on the second visit. It's like really rough around the edges, and you know how. And I'm trying to determine, you know, if they want what we have to offer, because what we have to offer is so huge that you can't see it in the beginning. And I know how I was. I was really graced at a young age with the gift of desperation. I was thinking about this when I went to the restroom. I really have kind of a boring story, you know? I mean, just a run-of-the-mill story. But I was disgusted with myself by the time I was 26 years old, and when it was time to get sober, I swallowed the whole hook, and I would do anything that my sponsor asked me to or suggested or anything. So I think that there's different levels about when you approach somebody at their second time about where they're at. It really depends on each individual. The other thing that I really remember about what they say is, make sure that you don't rush that person, because they will try to blame it on you if they fail later. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing, Mickey. My name's Patrick Lanier. I'm an alcoholic. The second meeting. When I think back to my second meeting, God was definitely there that day. And I didn't know what was to come of what happened out of, you know, a simple phone call. It wasn't even a simple phone call. I was done. I'd been going to meetings. I didn't like meetings. I really didn't like you guys too much. I didn't really want to do this for the rest of my life, but I knew that I had to, and I couldn't take it anymore. I was sitting in a meeting in Norfolk, and I don't really remember if it was a good meeting or a bad meeting, and all of a sudden it just came to me that this is stupid and I need to go drink. And so then my parents had to pick me up because I totaled my car. And my dad scoops me up, and he tells me that he needs to stop at the Coast Guard exchange to do something. He had to pick up a package or send a package, and it instantly put me in a fit of rage because I already knew where I was going, and I was going to go and drink. I'm arguing with him about why he needs to stop, and he just says, look, I mean, I don't know, parental abuse, I guess, was one of my things, because I had verbal parental abuse, but he said, look, Patrick, I have to stop, I'm going to stop, and he stopped there. And I remember pacing outside back and forth, and it was in the summer, and I'm just, and I remember saying, I'm going to give this program one beeping chance. And I picked up my phone, and I called some guy. I didn't know who this guy was, but I remember about earlier that week, some gentleman called me, and we had small talk. He was in the rooms of AA. I thought he was this guy named Mike from Boston. He had to be Mike from Boston, because who else would call me but Mike from Boston? And I called this person thinking it was Mike from Boston. I told him, I said, I can't do this. And I told him that I'm just irritated. I hate AA. And he started talking to me about things that I'd never heard before. And, you know, this was, you know, I didn't read the volume, and I didn't know. But all I know is that this second visit, and the same thing happened to me last night with another guy, when he started talking to me about what it's like when he's sober, it completely rocked my world. It forever changed my life. He told me that, like, whenever he was someplace, he needed to be someplace else. He told me about how he had a very pessimistic outlook on life, how he really didn't like people. He didn't discriminate in his hatred, just really didn't like anybody. He told me that a lot of times he thought they were coming for him. And this was how he felt when he was sober, and that his brain was incredibly loud. And then he said to me, the second I take a drink, the world becomes an easier, softer place. And I was like, I've been sitting in meetings for 2 months. Listen to people. Ain't no one said that to me. No one said that to me. And this guy said that. And, like, I've never been able to put those words. I've never been able. Like, I knew something was going on, but I could never put it in words. And when he said that, I was like, oh, my God, someone finally understands. And with that, he told me I had to drink. And so, I don't know, that was my second meeting, and I happened to have that same thing happen last night. There was a guy, I met him before, he said he was going to call me, he didn't, I understand. and I told him I understood, and we started talking about that same thing, because he said, you know, his first week sober was great, it was wonderful. And he said, you know, and then all of a sudden, week two came. It wasn't so wonderful. Someone couldn't read a clock because it didn't have numbers, and he just went off on them in a fit of rage. And I said, I understand. I really do. And I could tell when I started talking about how I felt when I was sober that he had that same, you know, he clicked. You could see it in his face. He's like, I get it. I get it. I'm glad there's someone else out there. And, you know, I try to carry that message in meetings, too, is like, because I don't hear it a lot, what it's really like to be like when I don't drink. It's not happy, fun time for me. I don't get sober and do nothing and everything becomes magical. I get sober and life gets really, really irritating, really, really quick. That's all I got on that. Thanks.
Thank you. We're going to skip to page 98. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes a difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon assistance rather than upon God, upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house.
Mickey alcoholic. And I'm going to let Patrick go first this time.
All right. Cool. I don't know. I've been around the rooms not that long. I mean, I'll be getting 7 years in May, and I've seen all kinds of funny stuff. I've seen people that, you know, their sponsees are their workforce. I've seen it all. I don't know. And I've also watched some things arise out of those relationships. I've messed up sponsoring people. I've done it wrong. I've gone away from the book. I thought that I could, you know, just like yell at them. I've tried every method under the sun. I when it comes to AA, I really suck at it. But when I follow the book, some things happen. And, you know, and my sponsorship have changed over the years. In the beginning, it was like, I mean, it was sort of like, it was in my head that my self-worth was based upon how many sponsees I had. And I know that sounds crazy, but I see it happen all the time, you know. And it tells me here that my dependence is upon God, and I'm just supposed to show up and be of service. If that means sponsor someone, I mean, I tell the guys that I work with, I tell them all the time, don't even call me a sponsor. Don't. I said, I got a huge ego, and I always remember there was this old guy that was near and dear to me, and he used to say it all the time, that sponsorship was the playground for the ego. And I understood why he said that, you know, because, you know, oh, look at all the great I'm doing. And it's really nothing. I know many of you in this room have heard when I read How It Works, and I always say be the same way. I say it slow and deliberately. Because probably no human power. I'm a human, you know. I can carry this message, but I can't get anyone sober. I can't. If I could get people sober, I surely would have got myself sober and bypassed all of this. But I can't, you know. And so what's my real job? It's to show up. And what's the thing is, you know, you see people, you hear it all the time, and it's not their fault because we're all led to believe that. You hear it in meetings, my outside circumstances are where the problem lies. And it's very hard to come to that realization that outwards, good job, bad job, good girlfriend, Satan's sister. Does it? No matter what's going on, it really doesn't matter that you're not going to recover from alcoholism until something in here happens. And, you know, I don't know for me why that clicked pretty soon, because I'm like you, Mickey, I don't have a box of white chips. I wasn't coming to AA. That was not even on the picture ever. It was talked about, but I was like, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. And, but when I came here, I mean, I was hopeless and helpless. And you know, and there was a time when I put my sponsor on a pedestal, and, you know, and I didn't really realize that he was a human power, my first sponsor, and the pedestal broke. And I realized that's when it really came into depth to me that for me, it's God. It's God doing this. And, you know, and I definitely try to burn that into every guy that I work with's head, is that, like, I can't keep you sober. Who knows if I get drunk tomorrow? Will you be able to get sober if I get wasted tomorrow? And if you say no, then we got some work to do. If my sponsor gets drunk tomorrow, I'm going to keep chugging along. Keep on moving. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Patrick. So I guess what I would share is some people would kind of call me like a hardcore sponsor. However, I have a lot of love for the people that I work with. And we go through it a certain way. And I always ask people that statement in the beginning, like, are you willing to go to any length, you know, to recover against alcoholism? And that's the way that we get started. And, you know, one of the things about, like, that second meeting, you know, that I didn't bring up is, that's why I don't like to go first. I always think about that stuff later. But that second, like, when somebody tells me that they're willing to go any length, I always have my book, and I make them bring their book on the second meeting, and we always read the doctor's opinion. And then we start going through the book a page at a time. But I've had pretty good success going through the book with people, and as far as people staying in. I only have one guy that over the years has just gone in and out over and over, and I've never fired him. I don't think I've ever fired anybody. But what happens is that people just shy away from me because they're not ready to recover, and they're not ready for what I have to give them. And that's really the truth about the way it is. So if I have a person that comes in and bounces in and out, they end up usually either moving on or just not coming back. I really totally forgot where I was going with that. Can you read some of that to me again, please?
Sure. How about some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth? Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God.
Okay. And what I was going to say was, I had a guy in when I was early in sobriety that had just gotten out of detox, and I let him stay at my house. And after about 3 weeks of him, after he was already gone, I started noticing all these things missing, right? And I remember going to my sponsor, and I was livid, man. I was like, you know, I brought this guy into my house, man. I was doing everything I can to help him try to get sober, and this is the payment that I get. I'm missing all these things. And my sponsor just looks at me, and he smiles, and he goes, well, he must have needed it more than you did. And that's all he would say on things like that, you know? But really, the truth is that wife or no wife, job or no job, that I can get sober no matter what. And that depends on how far down the scale that I've gone, on whether or not I'm really ready to swallow what this program is trying to offer me. You know, when I see somebody, what I deem to be, like, excuse my French, but half-assing the program, you know, I have to back off, because my disease is either all or none, and I'm always like 100% towards trying to get somebody to walk the path. And the other really good thing for me is that the sponsor that I had for 25 years had so much God in his program that it was just amazing. And When you hang around somebody that's praying all the time or meditating all the time, that's what you do. If you want what somebody has and you're hanging out with that person, you just end up doing the things that they do. And then you end up giving what they gave to you. So the God thing, like I truly believe that statement of God is going to do for me what I can't do for myself. One of the biggest things about that is I do not believe that any human power can relieve alcoholism where God can. So if God's going to do for me what I can't do for myself, He's not going to do for me what I can do for myself. So, like, in other words, like, if I say that, you know, that me and God are going to move mountains, but God's going to expect me to bring the shovel, right? So if I say all these prayers, like, God, help me stay sober, help me do this, and I'm not doing anything, I mean, that's not really, you know, living up to my part of the bargain there. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Okay, we're still on page 98. Now the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. I don't know.
I don't either.
Make the alcoholic. And when I got sober, I was in a relationship for 3.5 years, and I had to walk away from it. So that domestic dispute kind of severed itself right there at the beginning. And I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to stay sober and stay in that relationship, so I had to walk away. And it was really the hardest thing I ever did, because it was like losing my two best friends at the same time, the girl that I was in love with and alcohol. And I felt really, really naked. And the person that was my roommate, this guy named Billy, we had been roommate for like 7 years, and it was my best drinking buddy. So I was really kind of in a pickle. However, I worked days and Billy worked nights. And Billy didn't normally keep alcohol in the refrigerator or really around the house, because he usually drank out. He was in a band. I really see... that attraction rather than promotion in what they're talking there, because when I try to start jamming my ideas and my beliefs down somebody else's throat when they're not ready for it, they're going to turn around and run like the plague. I've had enough religious experiences where people have tried to impress upon me their views, and it's kind of the same way, you know, that when somebody goes religious or somebody goes AA, it's hard not to. Because I know that in the beginning I was so infatuated with all the miracles that God was doing in my life and all the stuff that I was learning in AA. Boy, I wanted to go out and tell everybody. So luckily my roommate worked at night and he was gone, because I didn't have to hit him. But I probably would have, because he was still drinking. But, you know, I can't go around saving people. And just, like they say about living with an alcoholic is like living with a tornado, you know. I can't live a certain way and be screwing up my life for all these years, and then all of a sudden, within the first couple weeks of being sober, trying to push my new ideas down everybody else's throat, everybody's going to be standing back going, yeah, he's getting ready to jump off the cliff at any time now. Give him enough rope, he's going to hang himself. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Mickey.
All right. So I come into Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know. First and foremost, I'm lucky and blessed today to have the people in my life that are in my life, because the way I treated them and the way I've acted almost a good majority of my life, it baffles me that they stuck around. And it's funny because, like, my daughter's mother, you know, when I got out of prison, I came to Virginia. I'm drinking all the time, and I miss my family. I used to go to sleep with nicotine patches on, so I could, like, they would make me have these super intense dreams, and it would actually be like I was with my daughter and my baby's mother. Like, I was a sad individual, just getting wasted all the time, and I'd sit on the playground boohooing, drinking Four Locos by myself, and yeah, I was a sad individual. But when the big scrape that happened that drove me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous happened, and I got my first sponsor, you know, I started telling him some of these things. And he said to me, he said, you know what? He said, you had a shot, and you blew it. He said, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but you had a shot, and you blew it, dude. And, like, for some reason, I know some people might not find a lot of relief in that, but for some reason, I did, because he was right. I did. I had a shot, and I blew it. And I don't know what was going to happen in the future, you know. And so I went on taking these steps. And it's funny, you know, now today, driving here, I got a text, you know, from my daughter's mom. She's like, what account are you putting the money in tomorrow? And I guess I put the punctuations in the right place, because I thought I was being a smartass, but I guess I wasn't, because I was like, well, how are you doing? And then I put the account that I was going to put it in. And she's like, she went in this whole thing about how, oh, I'm doing all right. Life's a little tough. Blah, blah. And I'm like, and I'm like, whew. Good thing she really didn't get how I meant that. And you know, and for some reason, I don't know, a few months ago, like, ever since I've been sober, our relationship's been straight. I send the money, I do what I'm supposed to do on my end, I keep my mouth shut, and everything's good. A couple months ago, I don't know, some craziness sparked up, and I kept my mouth shut, and I sent the money, and everything, I guess, is good again. Wonderful. But, you know, with my parents, with my sister, you know, I remember that relationship was horrible. When me and my sister would be in the same room, like, the temperature would drop a couple degrees. You could just feel the animosity. She figured the way I treated my father was horrendous, that I made him age too quickly, that she doesn't know why he haven't just given up on me. And I remember, you know, I'm starting to write inventory, and I happen to walk into my house, and she's on leave from the Navy, and she's sitting in the living room, and it's not ninth step time, but I couldn't sit there like that. And so I took her, I said, will you come outside with me and talk to me? And we talked. And that was like in October. And in December, she wanted me to come and spend Christmas with her in Alabama. And, like, I don't know. I definitely had the problems. And this program, without these steps, there's no way those relationships would have ever been righted. You could just see them just dissipating over the years. They were just getting worse and worse. And without this, and really what the biggest thing I've learned is just, like, you know, I in my head, I like to play God. And I want all these relationships to just, if they do what I want, everything will be utopia and we'll all be good. And it's just never going to happen. No one's ever going to do what I want. And so I've learned to just shut my mouth, especially when it comes to that. I mean, other things, I don't shut my mouth. People know I have a huge mouth. But when it comes to my family, just shut my mouth. And time, for some reason, always will make whatever issue better. And I don't know if that really had anything to do with anything we read, but that's what I felt, so whatever.
That's it.
You know?
All right, we're going to skip to page 100, one of my faves. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's my feeling on that. Probably even into, let's say, my first 10 years of sobriety. I think that there could still be part of me that was selling AA to people. And then something happens along the way, and I really think that that's where it becomes practicing the principles in all your affairs, when you and AA and God and the principles just become one, and there's no more selling going on anymore. I guess the easiest way that I could probably explain it is, like when I got a year sobriety, I remember how ecstatic I was. That I just couldn't believe that I made it for 365 days without a drink. I mean, just in itself, just 365 days without a drink. When I hear about somebody achieving a year sobriety today, this is what I think. I think that person has just received a gift that is better than winning the lottery. Because statistically proven, if you win the lottery, a couple years down the road, you're broker than you were before because you haven't changed at all. And achieving a year of sobriety forces change so much when you're in the steps, that even if you lose your job, your wife, whatever, that you have the tools to be able to live a life beyond anything that I could even have a conception of before I got here. There's no way that I could say that I'm rich on a worldly manner, but I'm extremely rich in an inner manner, because I have tools today that I've never ever had before. I have friends today that were a direct result of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, most of the people in my life today are in Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. Not purposely, that's just the way it is. But my life, my life in comparison today doesn't look anything like I would have expected it to at any time, like dreaming about goals. I really believe that if I were taken off this earth tomorrow, that I will have achieved more than I ever thought that I could have. And that's through the change of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's through the spiritual experience of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't think the same way that I used to. I don't act the same way that I used to. Like, I don't look the same way for sure. Like the people that I hung around with when I got sober, they probably think I just disappeared. But when I run into those people, they're like, holy smokes! Like people can't even believe that it's me. And if you would have seen me at the end of my rope, you wouldn't have believed it was me sitting here either. But it's from the 12. It's from walking through the 12 steps. My life has taken on a complete different change. My values are different. My goals are different. You know, I'm not after being rich. I think being rich would be bad for me. I really do. I think I'm fine just where I'm at. I think that my life in God's eyes is better as a servant than it is anything else. And that's where I get my most joy. Here's another big change. When, for a long time in my sobriety, it was about me, me, me. And when you take that turn, and it's more important to see miracles happen in other people's lives than it is in yours, something has really transpired, and it wasn't me. Thanks.
Thanks, Mickey. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. And, you know, I don't know, we walk together. I'm going to go, you know, back to what I said. I started off this thing where, you know, when I first got sober, there was this, like, your sponsor. And, I don't know, my sponsor was younger than me. So I really didn't have that. He's like the almighty sponsor. But I saw that, and then his sponsor got involved, and I saw that, and there wasn't this walking, there was someone leading. And over the years, like, I've come more and more to understand that, like, we do this together. I ain't better than any of you guys. You guys ain't better than me. Maybe someone knows the book a little more, maybe someone doesn't. But, like, if you honestly, and I'm not talking about the hard drinkers, if you're a chronic alcoholic and you're able to put some of these spirituals to work in your life and abstain from alcohol, then, you know, that's freaking amazing. And, you know, I've been on this path, and you know, I to be honest, there haven't been a lot of successes. And I don't know if it's my delivery. I don't know what it is. I mean, I had a roommate that I sponsored, and he killed himself. I've actually sponsored a few people that have died, now I think about it. But, you know, and then there's once in a while. Mickey looking for a sponsor. once in a while, you know, those people come into your life. There's one guy I sponsored. He was in jail. I used to ride my scooter up to the Virginia Beach jail, and we took the steps through the little television, the closed circuit visitation TVs, and he moved to Massachusetts, and he got his son back in his life. And from everything, you know, I hear from him probably every 4 or 5 months, and, you know, everything seems to be all right. And then there's another guy I sponsored. He moved to Alaska, and he got really into the whole Jesus thing. But, like, I'll see pictures, and he sends me Christmas cards, and he's got his family back. And, you know, that, like, to see that happen, it doesn't happen often, at least not for me. I don't know, maybe for other people, maybe you guys are just putting them out there, sponsoring, taking them through the steps and bringing them to God, and they get all better. But for me, you know, it's hard out there on the street sometimes. It's real hard. And sometimes it's real discouraging. And sometimes, you know, and I forget that it's like, it's not me. I don't know. I don't get to decide who gets sober and who doesn't. All I'm supposed to do is be walking on that pathway. And, you know, it's a great thing. I couldn't imagine, like, not having sponsees or, you know, people that I work with in my life. Because, you know, like, when they're telling me, oh, you know, I did this and I feel bad about it, and I'm like, I do that way worse, and I don't feel bad about it, I better look into that, you know, and, like, things like that, they do help me stay on the path, you know, they definitely do. And no matter what your present circumstances, and that was something that was drilled into my head really early in this whole grand scheme of things, you know, I was told stories of horrific things happening to people in AA, and then I was told about what they did about them. And it was always the same story, you know, horrific thing happens, and that night they go to a meeting, and pardon my English, but they try to fuck up someone's drinking. And that was makes it so they were able to walk through that, and, like, that's always what I've been trained. I lost a job. I've gotten scrapes. I've had all these things happening whenever. I've driven around Virginia Beach like a madman looking for newcomers to just read the big book with, because I can't get out of my head. And, you know, so when it says, like, no matter what the circumstance, that's something that, like, I don't know, I totally believe. The 12th step, I believe that that's an action that gets me closest, the closest action that I've found in AA that will bring me the closest to my Creator, that brings me the closest to God, is, like, just, like, sitting with someone and talking to them and seeing them, like, nodding their head, like, yes, I understand. Yes, I too am crazy like that. And they're starting to fit, you know, put the pieces together. And then, you know, and going through, reading the pages. So, yeah, walking day by day, definitely. It definitely have enhanced my recovery. And it's something I know that I'll have to do for the rest of my life. That's all I got on that.
Can I share one more thing?
Absolutely.
And I don't want to be misconstrued and think that, like when I came into AA, that all of a sudden I had these sponsees and they've been around since the time that I've been in AA. Because I was talking to my wife the other night. My wife's not in the program, but she does things, a lot of ministry with her church. And I was reflecting. And, like, if I look at the people that I have around in AA now, it was around the 10-year mark. Like, the first person that is still here today was when I was, like, 10 years sober. And I've been sober for 27 years. So I was sponsoring people until I was blue in the face for 10 years. I mean, 10 years before, I mean, not that people didn't stick around, because I'd have people that would get a couple years and then they would drop off, and, you know, somebody else would come along. You know, I always had four or five guys or six guys or whatever, and they would get a couple years and then they would drop off. But, like, so at my 10-year mark, it was real monumental about, that's when people really started staying, okay? And one of the things that I really look at when I go back to that is this 12th step. And one of the things that I can put my finger on is all the guys before that would never get any sponsees. And if you don't have any sponsees, then it's really still about you, you know, and you're not really giving it back. So that's the one thing that I really look at. If I want to keep the fire burning inside of me, it's through the 12th step by giving it back to other people.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mickey.
All right. This is our last reading for the night. It's on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland Ice Cap, and even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem.
And I really love that, because what it says is that I don't have to have a shield from alcohol. Because like it says in the big book, it's almost like the problem doesn't exist anymore. Like it has been removed. And that's the miracle of it. What it says, what is this, a miracle of healing? And it really is. It's a miracle of healing. However, underneath all that is that subtle foe. You know, alcohol is cunning, baffling, powerful, and very, very patient. So the thing that always amuses me about what that reading is, it says, assuming we are spiritually fit, right? Okay, now, who am I going to ask if I'm spiritually fit because I'm getting ready to go to a bar? I'm going to ask myself, hey, are you spiritually fit? Hell yeah! Right? Let's go. Like, seriously, if you're not spiritually fit, are you going to call your sponsor and ask him that question because you want to go to a bar? No. So I've always kind of giggled about that statement, assuming that we're spiritually fit. Yeah, I'm spiritually fit, all right. I just think it's pretty funny. However, you know, I like that you don't have to that I don't have to shield myself from alcohol. I really believe also in the power of numbers. Like, if I'm going to go to a concert, I always go with somebody that's in the program, because I don't want to be at that place when that thing hits, when that obsession hits. You know, I'm not talking about that fleeting thought of having a cold beer after I cut my grass on a hot day. I'm talking about that hole in the soul that I had when I got here. That is the scariest monster I've ever felt in my life. Because that's the one that says when I'm going to drink, not if, right? And that's what was taken away. That is the biggest gift of the whole program, if you ask me, because that hole's not there. However, I think, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And I think that there's going to come a time in a day where I'm going to feel some of that again. I just don't think, I mean, I hope that it never comes back. And in the time that I've been here, after, you know, these people taught me how to pray for that obsession to be removed, and it was, and it hasn't come back since then, by the grace of God, not by the grace of Mickey. I get kind of rambling when I'm up here, so I'm passing to Patrick.
Thanks, Mickey. This is where I get a little preachy, maybe. This is my thing right here, because you know what? I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was a bartender. And I went to meetings, and I went to meetings, and I said this. I said it to, I'm not even going to call them old-timers. I always say this. I'm just going to call them some old folks in AA. And they told me, they said, you know what, son? You're on dangerous ground. That's what they told me, and I'm like, great. You know, I'm already on my way back to prison. Now I got to get rid of my job, so I don't even know how I'm going to pay my child support. Because, you know, that's where the problem is. The problem lies in my bartending job. And, you know, and that's what I was led to believe. And you know, I get my first sponsor, and I'm scared to tell him. It's almost like that I've done something horrible to a child when I go up to him. I'm like, look, I got something I need to tell you. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I'm a bartender. And he's like, because this is what the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous have led me to believe when they tell me, just don't drink, don't drink, don't drink. First of all, I don't think alcohol is that bad. First of all, I'm going to tell you right now, alcohol is what got me to Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know about other people, but I was driven here by alcohol. If it wasn't for alcohol, I would not be sitting here with you. It drove me here. Me drinking is what got me here. And, you know, I hear this in meetings all the time. Don't drink, don't drink. People, places, and things. People, places, and things. And this is what I'm listening to, and I tell my sponsor, I'm scared to tell him I'm a bartender, and when I do, thank God someone actually read this book, was sponsoring me, and said, who cares? Bartending's not your problem. Once again, we're looking at these outside issues, you know? Once again, we're doing that. And I'm like, really? He's like, I'm like, I don't have to quit my job. He's like, no, you don't have to quit your job. He's like, how are you going to pay your bills if you quit your job? Like, I was thinking the exact same thing. Hallelujah. Someone understands. Thank God. You know, and sheesh, and you know, that's it. Like the alcohol. What does it say? The bottles, but we're a symbol. They're a symbol. You know what? If I'm having a hard time with this whole drinking thing, can't go out, hang out here. Got to watch out for this place. Don't want to go do groceries. Got to have my husband fill up the tank because I can't go to the gas station. Like, dude, take the steps. That's what we do here. These steps made it so I can go wherever I want. Wherever I want, a free man. Me and my sponsor have hung out in many a bars and played many a darts all over Hampton Roads. And I not once have I been like, oh, tonight's the night. And, you know, sometimes I've been a little crazy in my head. But I still, the problem was removed by me taking the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. By me following these precise directions. You know, when I came here, I was helpless and hopeless. And then, what's the message of hope? don't drink, stay away from people, get rid of all your friends. What kind of message of hope is that? You know what? Hang out with whoever you want to hang out. Date whoever you want to date. All my message is take the steps and see what happens. Get a relationship with God and He'll help you figure those things out. And that's what happened to me. That is, I can go wherever I want. I am a free man. And thank God for that. Thank God. You know, the other day at work, they were making, there's drinks where I work all the time. People drink, they make drinks every day when I go to work. And the other day, we're putting on all these new blood orange margaritas, mojitos. If anyone wants to go back drinking, they got them at Cheesecake Factory. But they're putting them out and they're all out there and they look pretty amazing. And they're all drinking and they're like, Patrick, drink some. And like, there's this girl that knows me and they know that I had some problems, but I don't go around work, oh, I'm an alcoholic, because look, dude, the problem's removed. I don't need to tell them that. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. And I kept on going. And they're like, why don't he ever just try it? And the girl's like, he can't. And they're like, what do you mean he can't? He's not an alcoholic. He don't go out with us all the time. You don't ever hear him getting in trouble. And she's like, that's why. Because he doesn't drink. If he does drink, then he will get. And like, she's have to explain this. And she told me about this whole conversation she had to have with my employee, with the people I work with. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. It's all good. It's all right. I understand. You don't get it. But like, that's it. People don't even, they don't even need to know. They don't. You know, I go places, and really the one that's always so concerned and consumed about this and thinking that other people are thinking, it's me and my crazy head. People don't care if you don't drink. You know, it's another, I don't know. I've been incredibly blessed, and like, when it comes to that, it's the weirdest times I've thought about drinking weren't when I was sitting in a bar. It's been like when I've been in my house alone, and I'm like, something's been going crazy and I haven't been doing an 11 step and I'm just been running on my own. All of a sudden I'm like, man, see a commercial or something. But then, you know, instantly I'm like, no, you can't do that. Go to a meeting, go find someone, read the big book, back in. But you know, it's amazing. Like, that's my biggest message. I don't ever tell people don't drink no matter what. I hate that message. That's what I heard when I came in here. And if I could have not drank, then I wouldn't have came here. I needed something with depth and weight, and that's what I got. Someone that told me that if I took these steps, I'd have an equal substitute for drinking. The problem would be removed, and I could go on with my life. I could be useful and have a purpose. And you know, I bought in, I did it. And today, like, I can go to Greenland, and I can chill with Eskimos, and I can do whatever. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. And again, I didn't follow directions because there's actually two more readings, one of which I'm going to read since Patrick mentioned it. It's on page 103. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. So we have like 3 minutes if y'all want to wrap it up.
Go ahead, Mickey.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up.
Go ahead.
We're going to wrap it up. All right. First of all, I'd like to thank the panel.
You did awesome.
All right, while that basket goes around, it's the every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution basket. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. So as I said, next week we have here in this room, Supper and a Speaker. Potluck Supper is at 6 o'clock. Please bring a dish if you wish. At 7 o'clock is our speaker. It's going to be Mark G. from Richmond. We do have a few flyers. Please take them and spread them out to the meetings you go to this week. And please come back next week. Are there any other AA announcements, Ashley?
Hi, my name is Ashton. I'm an alcoholic.
Absolutely.
My home group downtown in Dover is having its annual Spring in Action event. That's going to be February, March 12th. That's a Saturday from 11 to 2 p.m. Two speakers followed by question and answer. It's a breakfast potluck. They're providing pancakes, bacon, and coffee. Mm-hmm. And you can bring in whatever else you want. Thanks.
Thanks, Ashton.
Yes, Kevin.
My home group is 49th Street. They sub up.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Is that all? All right. And as everyone knows, home group is very important. Would home group members please raise their hand, because we do have a few openings if anybody would like to join. Let's see. Newcomers, you're the most important person in the room. Is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety that would like to introduce themselves by their first name, just so we can get to know you? Yes.
Hi, my name is Tony.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Tony, welcome.
My name is Corey, I'm an
alcoholic. Hey, Corey, welcome.
All right. And that leads us to sponsorship, which is also very important. We do urge you to get a sponsor, and anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. And we also, I'll be up here at the table if anybody has any questions about sponsorship after the meeting. We also have some literature, wherever my table is tonight, over here, that is free for the taking if you can fold it. The books are for sale, and just see one of the home group members if you're interested in a book. The smokers need to keep their smoke and their butts over by the bike rack away from the front door, so that the other people using the church tonight don't have to walk through smoke. And we do record all of our meetings. The interweb, simpleactions.net is where you can hear them. And I do want to thank the panel again. Thank you.
You're back there. You're awesome, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mickey.
And the best part of Monday night is the meeting after the meeting, where everybody that can't talk now can talk, and that's at Plaza del Sol, and it's at Colonial and 22nd Street. Please join us after we clean up here, and join us at the meeting after the meeting. Anybody got a book that wants to read the last two pages on paragraph 164? Melissa.
Hey, my name is Melissa. I'm an alcoholic.
Melissa.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose what he is to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. We close with the Lord's Prayer.
You rocked it, man.
Huh?
You rocked it.
You did, Mickey.
You did. You did a good job, man. I thought I was scatterbrained.
I thought you were going to bring me up, Mickey.
Huh?
You made me excited to get 10 years. I can't stick around.
Our Father. Lord in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,